Most of them haven't even believed in him. And they won't be able to do so until Jesus comes to bring peace. I prayed about this and I thought about it. I always do, and I sometimes when I'm tired, I just sit in that chair and think about it. Ask God to help me to understand things and the way he does and to let his mind be in me. And I don't claim I'm inspired or anything, but I know if God didn't help me, I couldn't understand this stuff. And I do know that sometimes, even though I think I understand him, I have to go back and correct myself. But I've never been able to correct God. It's always him that corrects me. Even then, after 1,000 years, mankind shall once again turn against God. You know, that's amazing, but we all knew it was going to happen. When I first came up here, I taught people, I said, the problem is not just the devil. Flip Turner was going around and said, the devil made me do it. And listen, we'd do it if they tied the devil up with chains that were spiritually couldn't get loose. And when those people at the end of the millennial reign, and it says countless numbers of them, it just lays it out. It says they're all going to come against Jerusalem after having, you know, God and people going out and trying to help these people and us trying to do things, working for God, they're all going to do it again. Why? The problem is our carnal nature. You say, well, if it wasn't for the devil, we wouldn't do as bad. You may be right. I think you are. Because he sure does help us along. But the truth of the matter is, we would sin even if the devil was already in the bottomless pit. And it's just that way. I've often wondered, and I've asked God about it several times, and he never has, you know, made me feel bad about it. Lord, is it just that we can't do it. So that's why he gave us the law. And that's the only way he could teach us. Well, God knows other ways, but it was the best way, because God always chooses the best way. He says, after 1,000 years, mankind shall once again turn against God. For the descendants of the Gog and Magog population of the Battle of Armageddon shall lead all other survivors against Israel. There will be survivors all over the world. Some of them will be young. Some of them will have passed the age of accountability. Some of them will not have been saved. And I think he's going to leave a lot here. And if you read that last chapter of the book of Isaiah, man, he makes it plain that they're going to run back to where they came from, and they're going to bring the Jews back any way that they possibly can. Just read that last chapter. It's there and it's plain. So they'll all turn against the Lord. Because you say, well, if we were back there, we wouldn't. Don't be too sure. Because I tell you, that carnal nature of ours, once that devil's let out of the bottomless pit, man, he could sell people just about anything. I think he's going to tell them all that stuff that happened before was just geological stuff. It was just stuff that was natural. But that's just what I think. That's not what I know. But all shall lead other survivors, but all shall be destroyed by the pure energy directly from the person of God. God is a spirit, says so. God says that we must worship him in spirit and in truth. He doesn't say we have to follow the truth. He says that we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, since I couldn't worship him, and he wouldn't accept my worship until I got saved, then I have to confess. I couldn't have worshiped God until I got saved. And all I had was a carnal nature. I didn't know that. I knew I was a liar. I even stole some money from a Sunday school class one time. So I didn't have any problem with knowing I was a sinner. I just didn't realize what a great sinner I really am. And if I had known what a great sinner I really was, would I have gone to him? Because would I have believed that he could save me? Well, I'm just glad he saved me. He says, for the descendants of the Gog and Magog population of the Battle of Armageddon shall lead all other survivors against Israel. but all shall be destroyed by true energy from the person of God. God is a spirit. Don't tell me somebody that created all this. Don't tell me somebody that powerful doesn't have control of pure latent energy. As a matter of fact, that may be part of what he is. But pure latent energy, man, that'll destroy this whole place. But anyway, he says he's going to destroy it. He may not be pure latent energy, but it sure is a spirit, and it sure can do it. And so that's a big comfort to me. I when I was a boy, I always believed everything the Bible said. I didn't understand it. God said he created the heaven and the earth. I just accepted it. That was it. I didn't have any problem with it. And then when it said he parted the waters of the Red Sea, I didn't have any problem with it. And I didn't have any problem with it till I got in school. And then even when I was in school, in high school, they were already claiming that Jesus wasn't God. That there was no God. And they said that, after all, you can't trust the Bible. But they never said why. But they were older than I was. I was smarter than that was. And so I looked at all that. And I still believed exactly what God said. My grandfather had taught me that. My grandmother had taught me that. They had taught me in Sunday school class. And those teachers that go back there and teach in those classes, I want you to know that the kids pay more attention than you think. And so I just believed what they said because I knew God was in them because they put up with a lot of stuff from me. And they loved me and cared for me. And they didn't take me out behind the church and spank me. That was my parents inside and my grandparents. That's what happened if you didn't believe God. Or if you made a noise because it interrupted what people were saying about God. He says, but all shall be destroyed by pure latent energy, the direction from the person of God, as well as the old physical heaven and earth. Whew! The new heaven and earth is going to be a spiritual kingdom. We're going to be in spiritual bodies. We're not going to be running around in bodies of flesh. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You say, well, what are we going to have around us? A spiritual, glorified body. What will it look like? Well, pretty much what God wants it to look like. And if we need to do like Jesus did and suddenly appeared behind closed doors, I think we'll be able to do it. If we want to be angels, and I don't think we'll grow wings because I think we'll just take thought and go somewhere else. That's what I think. It's not what I know, but I guarantee you it's going to be better than I think. And so I have always accepted the Bible that way. Now, after they got through me in the public school system, and after they got through me in all these institutions of higher learning, what so and so more, I began to say, Lord, I believe you. But I believed everything he said. He said, all things work together for good to them that love God, or to the elect according to his purpose. And all things work together for good to them that love his appearing. And so I often wondered, if he made this earth, maybe he put the stuff in there to do what he's already planned. After all, even when I was young, I had a lot of predestination in me. I believe that God created all things, and I believe that he's in control, and I believe he's always been in control. And so the first time I had an opportunity, I began to see things in the creation. I love science. I have a natural love for it. And I began to see a lot of things God said, and I wonder if he did that. So finally, when I had a chance to go to Israel, I wasn't questioning God. I've always been curious about God. When the Bible says that Paul said, that I may know him, I want to know how he did it. You say, well, suppose you hadn't found out how he made water into wine. I would have still believed it just as strongly as I do now, even though it's an absolute impossibility. And there's lots of things that God did. Well, listen, who do you think made the periodic chemistry chart? Ben Franklin? God did. And all those things go together. They mix. They make nature, and E equals MC squared. And I thought, who's the greatest scientist of all time? It ain't Einstein, it's God. So I began to look for things, and when I went to Israel, I started looking for, I was amazed. I was dumbfounded. And I knew I didn't need to know that. And I didn't understand, but it satisfied me. So I came back here to this country, and I was perfectly happy to pastor this church and do a revival once in a while. I never planned all this. And so whenever I went to down, and I was going to do a revival in Conway, and the last night, I had never had any trouble. When I walked up to the pulpit, I always knew exactly what I was going to preach, and sure, I changed it sometimes when I got up there. I had no idea what I was going to preach. What I had planned, I couldn't do it. I didn't know what to do. And they said, well, now, Brother McElmurray, come on up. And I went up, and I stood in that pulpit, and I had no idea what I was going to preach. Now, the Lord knows whether I'm telling the truth, but that's the way it was. And I stood there for a minute, and I started telling them about the Mount of Olives, about the faults in it, and they were spellbound. And I said, God said he would split it. He's already put the faults in there, and all he has to do is just speak the word, and it's done. But I said, he could have done it anyway. Then I began to tell them about the other faults and the things over there. They were fascinated. Well, when it was all over, they asked me a billion questions, and I said, look, the Bible is true, and everything in there that God said is true. But what happened, they started calling me from Antioch. They started calling me from over Arkansas. Pretty soon they were calling me over in the Philippines. They were calling me everywhere under the sun. And I went over and I told them, but I've always told them, it was my mission. It was my calling. I was elected to do this. Don't ask me why, but don't ever think for one moment it was because I was trying to prove what God said was true. Don't ever do that. Please. You're just thinking wrong. That's not why I did it. Now, but all shall be destroyed by pure energy directly from the person of God, as well as the old physical heaven and earth. God will then create a new heaven and a new earth. It will be the dwelling place of all the saved forever. Some of them in a city, some out of the city. It will never be possible for all mankind to worship God correctly until we all have a post-millennial condition. You can't do it until he makes you like himself. For we shall see him as he is. We won't have the power he has. We won't have the glory that he has. But we'll admire his forever and ever and ever, and we'll eternally be thankful for the body he's given us and for the salvation he gave us back on this earth. I mean, and it will be an honest, genuine, sincere love for him because he first loved us. Now, here we go into the millennium. And I didn't teach much about the millennium when I came up here. But I got really interested in it, and I started teaching about it. Revelation 27 through 10. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. Now there are nations here. And they're just not the direct, they're not all just the descendants of Gog and Magog. There are a lot of other people going to survive this. Read the last chapter of Isaiah. Together them to battle. The number of them is as sand of sea. That's a lot of them. And they went up the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. They're in physical bodies. They got carnal natures. And the saved are in that city. Here comes your latent energy. Well, I'll put it this way. Here comes fire directly from God, and I've always believed that. I just think it's latent energy because he controls all energy. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. I mean, goodbye, everybody in flesh. Hello, new heavens and earth. Hello, people that don't have an old carnal nature, and we're all together in one place, and we're equipped to worship God. At that time is when we'll really do it. Now, why do I say all that? Jesus said, those that worshiped him must, M-U-S-T, must, emphatic, must worship him in spirit and in truth. What's this church trying to do? We're trying to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what we're trying to do. You say, well, how far off are you? Who knows? But I know we're a whole lot nearer than a lot of other churches. And I know we're a whole lot nearer than we used to be. And I know he's a whole lot more pleased with us than he used to be. But God doesn't mean for us to rest on laurels. God means for us to get to know him personally and up close. And I think that's exactly what we're supposed to do. And that's what we do. And I'm just very thankful to God for that. He says, And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Here the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Hallelujah. Gone. Free. Carnal nature changed. Different person altogether. Able to think like God. Able to learn from God. Not spiritually stupid like we are now, because the carnal nature interrupts constantly and the devil helps him. And even when he's put down in the bottomless pit, those people on the earth in physical bodies, they're going to do just like we have, even though the devil's not there. So don't blame everything on the devil, although he is responsible, I would say, for the benefit of it. Look at Jude 3 and then 11. Beloved, I gave all diligence to write of you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you. He said, I was going to write about just common salvation. I was going to write you an epistle and about like the others write. But he said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. He was concerned about this. Who made him concerned? The Spirit of God. So who wrote this, God? For the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Woe unto them! For they have gone in the way of Cain, and I've preached on this several times, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and punished in the gainsaying of Korah. That's actually Korah. The E is pronounced like a long A, like an A. And gainsaying. Look in Strong's. It says it means rebellion. Lord have mercy. 83 years among the missionary Baptists, carried in and cried in church, and I was taken outside and spanked. I don't even remember. Well, I do remember some of it after I got a little bit older. But gainsaying, it's rebellion. Have I seen rebellion? I went to one church and preached a revival. It was down in Little Rock. Well, it was in Benton, actually. And they had already decided they were going to vacate. Well, they'd already vacated the pulpit on the pastor. And I knew the old boy, and he was a fine man. He was 3 points of poem and a cloud of dust, but he loved those people, and I knew he did. And they'd already vacated the pulpit on him. They did that to every pastor that ever came through there. Well, I was Sir Galahad. At least I thought I was. So, brother, when I got up to preach that revival, they had asked him to stay over till they found another pastor after vacating the pulpit. That's the kind of church they were. And one man ruled that church, a deacon. And at the end of the first night, I preached on deacons running the church. And, brother, I used lots of scripture, and I didn't call any names. When I finished that message, before the pastor even went up to give the invitation, that man ran down the aisle screaming, "The church rules! The church rules!" They dismissed the service. So do I know rebellion? You better believe I do. And you think I've traveled all over this place and don't recognize rebellion and haven't seen poor preachers that... they were preaching the truth. It wasn't getting to know Christ better all the time. But they were just preaching about salvation, salvation, salvation. And don't blame them. Listen, deacons can be the meanest people on the surface of this earth, or they can be the best. We got one of the best sitting right over there. And I thank God for him. Because I, you know, so It's rebellion. Do you know that's what hurts most churches? Do you know that's why most churches split? It's rebellion by people like Korah. And Korah was a prince of Israel. Yet he rebelled. Might as well call him a deacon. He didn't like it because he didn't get a high seat. Because he didn't get a high seat, because a man younger than him was chosen for was chosen to be kind of the head of the princes, he didn't like it. You say, well, now, you're speculating. You're absolutely right. That happened. That may not be the reason he did it, but you decide. He says, and the gainsaying of Korah, rebellion against God's decisions in worshiping him has been with man ever since his fall in the Garden of Eden. I mean, it's been with man ever since his fall. Everybody wants to be somebody. And in a church, natural leaders just want to be somebody. And they usually end up being deacons after they have a big number of them, and they say, so we need to have somebody ahead of us. So they elect one. And then he doesn't become the pastor's friend. He becomes the pastor's adversary because he feels personally responsible to know him. I've been to churches where people were saved in my early ministry because I preached ditties at the end, and a lot of people got saved, but they didn't like the other stuff. The chief deacon would get up there behind the pulpit. He would look down. You could see him on one side. And make sure the preacher got all of the candidate under. Because the rest of the deacons thought, we got to make sure he gets them all under. How would you like to be in a church like that? How would you like to be a pastor like that? This was a big old strong guy. You think I don't try to get them all under? Lord, I've got more interest in getting them all under than you have, because I'm going to have to answer. You say, well, what if you don't get somebody all the way under? You really think God's going to nab me for that? You really think God, you know what that is? That's a pure legalistic church. He says, and Cain, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew, and to Seth, and to him that was born a son, and called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Ever since that, you've had trouble in congregations, whether they were a gathering of the people, the small number of people on the earth to worship God, or whether they were in the age of the patriarchs, whether it was in the age of Moses, where they gathered together in assemblies, there have been trouble between people because they have carnal natures and somebody has to take charge. I'm not going to talk about Cain. I've talked about that before, and I'm not going to talk about Balaam. But this one here is what I have discovered in most of our churches caused most of the trouble. And it isn't just deacons. It's pastors too. And I've been guilty of this. But I wasn't trying to rebel against God. I just didn't know what I was doing. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son. Okay, let's begin to look at this thing now. Now, Korah, in the Greek, that E is a long, as an A. Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi. Okay, this man's a son of Levi. You know, Levi, some of them they made priests, some of them they made servants in the church that cleaned up the church and kept it needy and served the priest. That's not really, it's a higher position than the rest of Israel had. And Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. Here they come. Here comes the rebellion. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes. They were sons of Levi. They were princes. But the truth is, they weren't a part of the priesthood. princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. When a man is a man of renown, he wants more renown. And more renown. You can't get enough of it. You can't get enough of your carnal nature. I tried to act humble when I was going around all these churches and they treated me like I was King Tut or Joseph reincarnated. I said, oh. But at first I loved it. And then after I started really looking at the word, I said, you fool. You're not supposed to be glorying in this. Who do you think assigned you, gave you this assignment? I don't think like a lot of people do. I've been down here TDY. This is my TDY assignment. I'm waiting to go home PCS. People say, well, I was elected to preach. This is my assignment. I'm down here TDY. I understand that. I want to go home PCS. I will go home PCS. That's the way I think. How did you expect me to think when I came up here? I had run a military group. I'd had 25 to 35 men, and I told them to do this, I told them to do that, I told them to do this. They all liked me because I didn't hurt them anyway, and I let them have a lot of time off, and I did all that kind of stuff, but that's the only way I knew to operate. So I came up here. Yeah, I was a tyrant. Anna Mae, do you think I was a tyrant? How many of you out there think I was a tyrant? See? That's the only way I knew to operate. Yet my wife was chewed out for it. And so back then I just wanted to punch somebody in the nose, but I'd learned enough by then, no, that's not the way to operate. And they rose up. And they rose up with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. Those were the two leaders of Israel. And said unto them, ye take too much upon you. You know I was accused of that? Taking too much on me? Taking too much authority? I've never received an apology for it. Doubt if I ever will. Yet it made my wife cry, hurt my wife deeply. And all the congregation are holy. I never have received an apology. And I don't want one. Every one of them and the Lord is among them. Therefore then lift up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. I never lifted myself up above the congregation of the Lord. Never. All I knew how to do was soldier. That's all I knew how to do. So don't blame me for that. And think about it. Think about it. Think about the audacity of accusing me, who was elected of God, was given a TDY assignment here, and I was just trying to do what God wanted. Seeing all the congregation, and you take too much, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them. And the Lord is among them. Well, didn't he tell us that we should be good soldiers? Didn't he tell us what a role a good soldier should be? That's all I knew how to be. And wherefore then lift up yourself above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. And he spake unto Korah and unto all the company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show us who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him that who he hath chosen, will he come near to him. You know what? I prayed for the one who did this. I prayed for him all the time. I was scared God was going to kill him. He didn't recognize his own audacity. He didn't recognize what he'd done to the pastor. And I just let him do it. Bit my teeth and went on. Took my assignment. But I prayed for him all the time. This do, take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that that man whom the Lord shall choose, he shall be holy. You take too much upon yourselves. Seemeth it but a small thing to you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle? They were the descendants of Levi, but they had to serve in the tabernacle. This man wanted to be a priest, probably. I don't say that for sure, probably. Of the Lord to stand before the congregation to minister to them, and he had brought him near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee. And Moses asked him a question. He said, and seek ye the priesthood also? He said, you want to be in the priesthood? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? How much right do you have to murmur against the pastor and upset his wife and make her cry and accuse her husband of things he's not guilty of? Ignorance? Yes, I was ignorant. But I sure was not a tyrant. I'm just a soldier. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and said, we will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou shalt make thyself altogether a prince over us? They wanted to go back to where they came from, where they could go back and have all this wonderful stuff, and he hadn't even led them into the honey. Lord have mercy, any pastor, I can't lead you into honey. I can just tell you about the Lord, and he'll lead you into honey. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. That's rebellion. My way. Not the pastor's, but my way. And I'm going to tell you what you're doing wrong. And Moses was very wroth, and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering? I have not taken one ass from them. Neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they. And unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they, and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers. Thou also and Aaron, each of you with his censer. And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, the tent of the congregation, with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto the congregation. You know what? God didn't bother me. Believe me, he bothers me all the time. But he didn't bother me about this. And I prayed for that man. And I prayed for him over and over and over again because he was ignorant. He hadn't advanced enough spiritually to even give me any mercy at all. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment. Amen. That's why I prayed for him. God didn't bother me. God didn't bother me. But he bothers me about everything else. But that man couldn't see himself. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wrought with all the congregation? He said, you're going to be mad at all the congregation because of Korah? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. And Moses stood up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him, and he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you. I didn't do that. Because I didn't want to split the church. I didn't want the church to split. It was the most shocking thing that ever happened to me in my life. After two wars, that was the most shocking thing that ever happened to me. From the tents of the wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all your sins. I think God heard my prayer. I think he did. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, "Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind." I had a military mind. I wasn't anywhere close to mature when I came up here. I wasn't spiritually mature when I went out on this lecture series. But if you think I just didn't do anything, I studied the whole time I was out there. I knew I had to be a better pastor. And I was doing everything I could. And the devil sent against me a spirit that almost ended my ministry. Because that man was ignorant. Lord have mercy. But I learned a lot. I learned a lot. And I'll never be caught like that again. And Imogene's in heaven. She forgave him. But I've never seen so hurt in my life. That was a terrible thing to do. Didn't seem to bother him. He says, so they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of their tents. And Moses said, "Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind." Well, take a look at me. Do you think I'm here because you chewed out my wife while I was gone? Do you think I'm here because you made her cry? No, I'm here because the man's grown up a little. Maybe he realizes it now, but this man has an almost impossible character to apologize, which he has never done. I don't want it. And that's not the wrong attitude. He can't take it. Never could. He says, "But if the Lord make a new thing, and earth openeth her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain to them, and they go down quick in the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." They wanted to be a priest. They weren't satisfied to be a prince. They were descendants of Levi, but they didn't get the priesthood. And this man, according to what I've read on him, they gave the head of the thing, the princess, to a younger man that was a descendant of Levi. Can you imagine how he felt? Can you imagine that he felt neglected and he wanted them all to look up to him? And it came to pass as he made the end of speaking these words that the ground clave asunder them that was under them, and the oath opened the ground, opened her mouth and swallowed them up in their houses, and all the men that appertained to Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them, that's exactly what happened. Ground open. Who did it? God. How did he do it? He just did it. That satisfies some people. It satisfies me. But it just so happens that the one who believes in predestination, and I do, God put something over there, and it's the only place in Israel you'll find it that has hinge faults and has gas lines across it and gas wells, which are notorious for doing this. You say, "Well, you're wrong to think that he did that." How do you know that? How do you know that? How dare you say that? "Oh, I don't believe that." How dare you say that? God did it. Period. I don't have to have all this other stuff. Neither do you. But I was called to do this, and I'm going to do it. He said, "And all Israel that were round about then fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord." That's exactly what happens along this line. It's a line that runs all the way across, and it runs just north of Beersheba, and they have gas wells there. And underneath it, the surface is such that once in a while, one of them will open up. And when it opens up, the rocks underneath rub together. It ignites the gas, and it comes up and sends out fire. You say, "Well, I don't God believe it that way." Well, I don't know whether he did or not. I know he did it. And I know that's the only place in Israel where they've got that. They've got some offshore stuff now in the middle of the Mediterranean. So when people get in, when people actually get to the point where they're interfering with my mission, with my TDY tour down here, I don't like it at all. Because this is what God called me to do. And you shouldn't put me down because of it. He says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of another priest, take up the censers out of the burning, and they hallowed the censers of the sinners against their own souls. That's an interesting expression. I'll get to it. Let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord. Therefore are they hallowed, and they shall be a sign to the children of Israel that they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign. And Eleazar took the brazen censers wherein they were burnt and offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses. Why do you think I preached that cotton-picking thing? Forgive me, that's wrong, Lord. I shouldn't put it that way. Why do you think I keep preaching about that murmuring? Murmuring, murmuring, murmuring. Silent disputing. It spread through this church. Why do you think I preached that? You say, you don't know anything else. Yes, I do. And that splits more churches than anything else. And it almost split this church. And ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, a cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell them upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein off the altar, and make an atonement for them. Listen. The man that did that is going to have to answer for it. And I'm not accusing him. I'm just telling you what happened. And there is wrath gone out from the Lord, and the plague has begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was before all the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood before between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now that died in the plague were 14,700 beside them against the matter of Korah. That's what happens when you want to take over a church. That's what happens. That's what happens when he wanted to move up and be a priest. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. You see that expression? Against their own souls. Since I'm doing this for Tommy Brown, I looked up all these words. This is 5315 from 5314. To plow the soil to expose a gleam of a flesh furrow, more like your plow. Fleshly plowed ground. Zotes, Old Testament word study. You can also look in your color concordances. You ever see them plow with that stuff? You just plow it up and it leaves a furrow. If you don't get it deep enough, you keep going back. They planted at different depths. Pretty soon, you got a pretty deep furrow. What does it say the Lord is going to do over there to the Antichrist army? It says that he's going to open up the earth and swallow up the people that are after Israel, and fire's going to come out. I wanted to get something simple so I wouldn't have to get you a bunch of I showed you a bunch of geological charts. Look down there at Negev. Look up at Beersheba. Look up what runs across there. Gas wells. A line of them all the way across. That's what those little things are sticking up. I was assigned a job. And God didn't speak to me in my ear, but he spoke to me in my heart. When all this happened, I just said, "What am I supposed to do, Lord?" He said, "Just don't do anything." He didn't whisper in my ear. He said, "It's no one bothering me." So he said, he didn't say anything in my heart. I just said, "I'm going to finish my assignment no matter what that fellow does." And here I am. And if he jumps on me, I'll fight back. But I can't fight back too much. I'm too old. The Bible says you're supposed to respect your elders. There are a lot of things people should do. Some elders are rotten. Well, I am. But at least I'm trying to do my assignment. John Holbrook, would you dismiss us?